And turn with me in the New Testament to the book of James, chapter number 4. James chapter number 4, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. James chapter number 4, begin reading in verse number 13. I was thinking about that song, and somebody's asked, how can you get so excited about when it talks about being silent, being in the grave, because the grave's the victory for the believer. I'm telling you, there's a day coming when you want to hear that I've died. When I die, I want you to know I'm going to be with Him. Amen. Instantly. Amen. In the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's exciting, isn't it? Amen. It is to me. I'm happy about it. Amen. James chapter 4, verse number 13. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Notice what the Bible says. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor. It appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him, it is sin. I want you to take note of what the Bible says. The Bible says, what is your life? It's just a vapor. We think about that. We think, what's a vapor? Something that's there and then it's gone. And I think every one of us can identify with this, from the youngest to the oldest that has any understanding whatsoever. Life sure goes by in a hurry, don't it? Seems like just yesterday. How many times have I heard that said? It seems like just yesterday I was graduating from high school. Well, I want you to know we need to make the most of every day. And I want to preach on that. Making the most of every day. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love. I ask you to be with us now and help me to say what needs to be said. Lord, I know I need you. I need thy power. I need thine unction. Lord, I need you to pour your Spirit out upon me that as I preach, that I would preach through the power of the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that those that are here tonight would hear thy word. Lord, I pray that they would be encouraged and helped. Lord, I pray that they'll be strengthened to do thy work, thy will with their lives. Lord, I pray that as we go out of here that we'll have been obedient. We'll respond in the way that's pleasing to thee. And Lord, we'll be determined to serve you in a greater way. We'll thank and praise you for all that you do. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. There's no doubt as long as life may be, it's short. People that have lived, my grandmother, I know I've mentioned her several times, but my grandmother is 98 years old, and so many times she'll say something, it just seems like just a few days ago, I was a little teenage girl going to the one-room schoolhouse. It's an amazing thing. She was saved during a schoolhouse revival, public school. Isn't that an amazing thing? Things sure have changed. They was having revival at night, but the preacher would go, and the schoolhouse was up on the hill, and the church was down in the valley, and every morning they would take the school children from the schoolhouse, and they would walk them down through the path down into the church down in the valley, and the preacher would preach to them. And she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior in a schoolhouse revival meeting. And I'm telling you, it's a blessing to be able to talk to her about some of them things. But she'll say something like, it seems like just yesterday, Joe. It seems like just yesterday that this was happening. It seems like just a few days ago that I was a little girl. She'll say something like, it seems like it's not been that long ago that I was riding through the fields on the horses. And she'll tell me all these great stories. And I tell you, she'll tell you the same stories over and over and over again. And I've yet to grow tired of them. I've enjoyed them every time I've heard them because they're precious to me. But here's a lady that knows the Lord. And I tell you, I believe she gave her life to living for the Lord. And she told me, she said, Joe, whatever you do, give your days to God. She told me one time, she said, you have children. And she said, if you'll give them Jesus, you'll give them everything they need. Because when they get older, you can't go with them everywhere they go, but He can be with them everywhere they go. What a Savior we have. And I'm grateful for that. But life goes by so quickly. It seems like We turn around and the year's gone. It seems like that we were just bringing in the new year just a few short hours ago, and now we're quickly heading to 2009 if the Lord doesn't return. It seems like in just a blink of an eye, I'm 41 years old. Thank you, Brother Chris. I know you can't hardly believe that I'm that old, right? Amen. Thank you, Brother Chris. And the Bible teaches us some things about life and what we need to know for us to be wise with our days. The Bible says that there are those that say today, tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue their year and buy and sell and get gain. But James says you don't know what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? How many times have we made a statement of saying, well, tomorrow I'll talk to this person about the Lord. Tomorrow I'll do this for the church. Tomorrow I'll give my life, my energy, my efforts into this very thing. But you don't even know if tomorrow's going to come. The Bible says, the proverb says, boast not thyself of a tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. God doesn't promise you tomorrow. As a matter of fact, God does not promise you another breath. The breath you have now, He gave to you, but the next one, it's up to Him whether you get it or not. We need to realize life is short. I remember when I was in my late teens, in my early 20s, you know, I thought I had all kinds of time out in front of me. Got saved when I was 18 years old, surrendered my life to do whatever it is God wanted me to do. At the age of 19, He called me to preach the gospel. And I'm telling you, I was so glad that He called me to preach. When He first started dealing with me, I thought, no way, I can't do that. But I'll tell you, I just got more and more excited about it. And I'm still excited that He's called me to preach. I still love standing up and preaching the Word of God. But I'll never forget feeling like that life was all the way ahead of me. And feeling like that I had all kinds of years in front of me. If I didn't die prematurely, I just felt like, you know, life was so long. And now it seems like I've blinked my eye. I'm married, I have two children, and they're getting ready to, I mean, one's in high school, one's getting ready for high school, and they'll be going away to college. And I'm thinking, what has happened to my life? I was just 18 a day or two ago. I was in shape, able to do things, able to play ball, able to run, able to have fun and not hurt the next day. What happened to my life? I'll tell you what happens. Life's a vapor. It appears and then it's gone. It's here and then before you know it, you're to the point to where your days are short and you realize I don't have much time left. And you know, we go through life and we waste so many days. We go through life living for self instead of living for the Savior. And the Bible tells us that we need to be wise with our days, because what is our life? What is it? We realize that it is just a vapor that's here for a little time, then it vanishes away. Then we ought to say, instead of saying today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue their year and buy and sell and get gain, what we ought to say is, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Dear friends, the Bible's helping us to realize how we ought to live our days and walk in our life. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We need to realize that it's so important to walk in our days in the will of God. We need to understand that the days are evil that are upon us, and we need to be redeeming the time, knowing God's will and doing God's will with our life. The Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. It's so important for us to live our life for the Lord. It's so important for us to give our days to God. It's so important for us to realize that we cannot put off till tomorrow what God wants us to do today. But we must give our life to doing God's will today. We must do what God's plan is with our lives now. Because before you know it, you'll blink your eye and you'll miss out on some of the greatest things that God had for you because you kept putting off till tomorrow what God intended for us to do today. There's things we can do that'll help us to live our days. The book of the Revelation helps us to understand that the time is at hand. Paul's letter to Timothy, he says, in the last days perilous times shall come. I think we ought to be convinced that we need to do what we can while we can. We can't put off till tomorrow what God has for us to do now. We can't live on past memories. We can't talk about what East Sly Avenue Baptist Church once was. We have to realize that God has us here now. And God has a plan and a purpose for us now. There may be in a day this church runs 600, 700, 800 people in days gone by, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm grateful for every soul that has ever trusted Christ. But if God was done with this church, He could have closed up the doors. But He's not done. Amen. The gospel's still being preached. Amen. The word's still being given. And we still believe in the blessed old book. Amen? Amen? We have a job to do. We have a responsibility. Yes, the time is at hand. And yes, perilous times are upon us. So we must be busy doing what it is God wants us to do. Just realize that life's going to be gone before you know it. Both individually and as a church, there's things that we ought to do. We ought to give ourselves. We ought to be growing, first of all. I want you to look with me, if you will, just a few pages over, the book of James, 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 2 and 3. We ought to make the most of our days of growing. The Bible says in verse number 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So what do we ought to do? We ought to be growing in the Word of God. Every day we ought to understand more about the things of God. That's something that ought to be a part of every day of our lives, is God's Word. Before you know it, life's going to be gone. And God has a purpose. Do you want to know where you find God's purpose for your life? Not on the TV screen. Not on the internet. Not some plane riding it in the sky, but through God's Word, you find God's plan, God's purpose. You realize that God has something for you to do with your life, and we need to be growing in the Word of God. As newborn babes, we need to desire the sincere milk of the Word. And by the way, there's time for some of us to get off the milk and to get on to the meat of the Word. We need to be growing in the Word of God. We ought to be determined to read the Bible through. For in the Bible we find everything we need to know about God and about man. Because anything extra, we don't need to know. God's given us everything in the Bible. Somebody says, well, I need to know how to deal with men. Well, we find out about it in the Bible. Because the more we know God, the more we'll know man. Because God knows all things about man. And as we know God, He'll reveal to us the things we need to do to carry out His will in our lives. We need to grow in the Word of God. We ought to find ways to read through the Bible to make it interesting. You know, I know how easy it is sometimes. We'll say, well, I'm going to read the Bible. And what we'll do is we'll read just a little bit during the commercials. And then when our show comes on, we'll stop. I don't think you're going to get a whole lot out of your Bible reading that way. You know? We need to read through the Bible. It'd be a great thing if every year you'd read through the Bible. It'd be a great thing. But you know, maybe you can't do that. Maybe it's just not something you can do. Well, find a way, but work your way through the Word of God. It may take you a couple years, but begin now reading the Bible. Make it interesting. You say, I've read the Bible through a dozen times. Yeah, I don't know how many times I've read the Bible through. It's been several. Several times. By the way, it never grows old. It's an amazing thing. I'll read it through, and every time I read it, it seems like God's showing me new things. He doesn't change what I read before. It just seems like He reveals more and more and more of Himself to me. I get so excited. I'll be reading through the book of Chronicles or through the book of Kings over in the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. It's great, you know. And you say, boy, what about all them begats? And what about this son and this son and this son? There's a story behind all of it, and it makes it interesting. I begin to watch for certain things. I begin to write, and I'll circle in my Bible, this man has daughters only. And I thought, well, that's interesting. It never says a whole lot about things like that. And then what you do is you begin to find yourself seeing things. And then you'll see this name over here. Here's Meachar over here. And then you go over here. Here's that same Meachar. I wonder if it's the same person. And then you begin to find out the relationship of the two and the importance of that name, and all of a sudden you begin to say, hey, boy, this is pretty exciting. I'm beginning to see, I never saw that before. You'd have missed the prayer of Jabez if you went over all the begats, wouldn't you? You wouldn't have seen what he prayed. But there it is, right in the middle of it. It's an amazing thing. Grow in God's Word. If we're going to make the most of every day, God's Word has to be a part of every day of our lives. We're wasting our time if we're going to say, well, today or tomorrow I'll start. No, don't wait till tomorrow. Start now. Give your life to it. You said, well, I have such a hard time reading through all of it. Well, begin by just reading. We have devotionals back there that let you read the Bible through by its stories. 365 stories. Actually, there's more than that. And it's 12 volumes. It's got 31 stories you can read through, and it asks you Bible questions just to help you to get started in a devotional life. You ought to just make it interesting and enjoy it and allow God to speak to you. We need to understand that we need to grow in the Word of God. Study your Sunday school lesson. I know from 7th grade and up that our Sunday school lessons have questions every week. We've provided that for you. We've given that to you so that you'll be able to study the Word of God. For instance, today we were studying there in Psalm 22 where it says, He hath done this. If you looked at your questions this past week, you would have been even a little bit more prepared. And if you did, you were more prepared. And I know some of you do. Some of you have called me and said, what is this meaning right here? What's this question all about? I get so excited when somebody calls me like that. I'll have 100 calls this week. What's this mean? Yeah, that's great. Growing in the Word of God. Listen to the teaching and to the preaching. Not only do we need to grow in the Word of God, we need to grow in grace, don't we? The Bible says here in the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3, notice what the Bible says. It says, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We find this as we read this, we're seeing about the Lord Jesus. It's some wonderful things about Him and about the return of the Lord and about the day of the Lord. And there's going to be a day coming when Jesus Christ returns. He's going to return in the clouds and He's going to call the church out of this old world. But what do we do until that time? Will we grow in grace? That's what we do. That's part of our days. Make the most of every day of growing. The temptation is to give in to the pressures of the world and not allow the Word of God to be a part of our lives every day. But we're exhorted to grow in grace. And if we're going to grow in grace, it's going to be through God's precious Word. Not only do we need to make the most of our days by growing, we need to make the most of our days by going. By going. What is it the Bible says? The Lord Jesus says one-fifth of the Great Commission, Gospel of Mark, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore, he says, go ye therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. The Bible says, and ye shall be witnesses. And we're to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. We're going to be witnesses after the Holy Ghost comes upon us, and we'll go. As Christians, we ought to be going. That ought to be part of our day. In other words, when we go to work, we're not only going to work, but we're going to witness. When we go to the store, we're not just going to the store to buy something, we're going to the store to tell something. We need to be going and making it a part of our lives. We need to be making the most of every day. How many would say that you believe the return of the Lord is soon? Would you say amen? Amen. I mean, we look at the, you know, perilous times are upon us. As Revelation says, the time is at hand. We could go and we could look and we could look for signs, for things that need to happen. We understand. We don't need to be looking for a sign, but everything that I can possibly find in the Bible has been fulfilled in order for the Lord Jesus Christ to return at any moment. He could come back. So, dear friends, we don't have time to waste. We have to go and tell the story. May not always be a Monday night. Maybe you can't make it Monday night, but everywhere we go, may we bear the witness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. With the Lord's help, we should invite folks to church. With the Lord's help, we should hand out gospel tracts. And with the Lord's help, if we're going to accomplish anything for the Lord, we must go with the gospel and tell people about Jesus. We live in a city of, it depends on which stat you look at. Some say close to 1 million people. Others say there's 300-some thousand within the city limits. But the greater Tampa area, if you include all the surrounding counties, 4.2 million people. 4.2 million people. I wonder how many of them have never heard how much Jesus loves them, how He died on the cross for their sins, how that He suffered their sin, their sorrow, their shame, how that He was buried in a borrowed tomb, paying for their sin debt, how He arose again the third day according to the Word of God. And if you'll put your faith in what Jesus Christ did, you can go to heaven. Out of 4.2 million people, I wonder how many have never heard the gospel. I dare say we'd be ashamed to know how many have never heard the gospel. Not every church preaches the gospel. Not every church gives the truth. And by the way, people are not going to just flock in to churches, especially like ours. They're just not going to come flocking in, you know? We don't have all the show and the entertainment. We just have the Word of God. We just have songs that have doctrine to them and truth. And we have a love that comes from the Lord Himself. Most people want to go to church to be entertained anymore. There's no doubt sometimes when I preach it's quite entertaining, but it's not meant to be. We have a church here that knows what the Bible teaches. They're not going to come running to us. The Bible never says they'll come running to us. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we're to go to them. We have a story to tell. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. What a story. You say, well, preacher, I just don't feel comfortable. I can't go out. I don't know enough about the Bible. I don't know enough to say anything. But you know what you need to be able to tell others about Jesus? You need your own testimony. What you were before you were saved. And by the way, we don't brag on sin. You know what you was before you were saved, the same that everybody else was. Empty. Everything to live with, but nothing to live for. There was a void in your life. You didn't hate life more than likely, but there was something missing, and you kept looking, and someday somebody introduced you to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He filled that emptiness. And He showed you what life was all about. That's what we have to go. That's what we have to go tell others. That's what we have. We have a story to tell. And the story is what Christ has done for us. What was Paul's most effective tool? It was his own personal testimony. And dear friends, the greatest thing you have is a personal testimony. We need to go and tell others. Make the most of every day. What is your life? Well, I will. I'm going to start the new year. I'm going to make a New Year's resolution that I'm going to start witnessing to so many people a week. I'm going to hand out so many gospel tracts. Why wait till the new year? Why not start now? You may not even be alive when January comes. I may not be alive when January comes, but I am alive now. Hopefully I'll be alive tomorrow. I may not be. May the Lord help us to see that we need to make the most of every day of going. We must go. We must do these things. And that's why God allows us to go places, is so we can tell about Him. Then we need to make the most of our giving. Our giving. You say, oh, you're going to preach. I never preach on giving. Very seldom do I preach on giving. Somebody told me I need to preach on it more. So I thought, well, I'll just take an hour and do it tonight. Just kidding. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 6, verse 38. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That's a great verse, isn't it? As we give, things are given to us. Now, look, I'm not one of these prosperity preachers. If you give $100 to the church, I'm not going to tell you that it'll be restored unto you sevenfold. But if you give $100 to the church because God put in your heart to give $100 to the church, God will bless you for it. If you'll obey God, we know the tithe belongs to the Lord. That's automatic. That's something that will be part of our life. It's holy unto the Lord. We understand that. Well, preacher, that's the Old Testament. That's under the law. Before the law ever was, the tithe already was. It wasn't undone in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, He actually commended people for tithing. And He said, you should have done this, but there's still more to it than just the tithe. So we understand this. But as we make the most of giving, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but we ought to give systematically. The Bible says upon the first day of the week in 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. We need to understand this. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He'll not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what the Bible's saying? When we tithe, it pours out an abundance of blessings upon us. That's what the Bible says. He says, when we tithe, you know, he says this, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. That's what he said. I just happen to believe God's word. I believe it's all true. We ought to give systematically to the Lord. From the first fruits, by the way, the Bible says, honor the Lord in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I believe that we tithe off the first fruits, off the gross, not the net. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. That's good preaching. You know, I had a friend of mine, and he said, oh, I believe in tithing. He said, but I tithe off the net. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, explain that to me, you know, when the Bible says this. And so we went down through, and he began to explain to me, and I said, well, what is your tithe a week? He said, $10. He made what I made hourly. I said, $10? I said, how do you get that being a tithe? He said, well, my taxes come out, then my house payment comes out, and then my car payment comes out, and then my insurance comes out, and by the time it's all said and done, and I have my groceries paid for, I have about $100 left, so I figure I'll give a $10 tithe, and God will be happy with that. I said, you reckon? He said, yeah. I said, whatever. Yeah. We had been through that before. I wasn't going to sit there and argue with him, and I'm not going to argue with you. I know what the Bible says about the first fruits. We ought to give systematically. Upon the first day of the week, we bring our tithe, 10%. And by the way, if you're visiting with us, and I don't think that I preach on this all the time. I don't preach on it all the time. It just goes good with my message tonight. And I think that it ought to be given every now and then. We give systematically. Number two, we give sacrificially. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, 24, 25, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendereth poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. The Bible says that we are to give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. This is what the Bible says. We give sacrificially. But I want you to hear this third part. We give cheerfully. The Bible says, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. One thing I've always said in this church and in this pulpit, you know it, every time that the men come up to take an offering on Sunday morning or Sunday night, I say this is the time that we honor the Lord, or we bring our tithes, we give our offerings. The tithe belongs to God. Our offerings is that which God has placed in our heart to do above and beyond. I have never begged for a dime, and I never will. I just tell you this, as God places in your heart, then obey Him. Whatever God speaks to you about doing, obey Him. We have people around here that give sacrificially, and I'm so grateful for that. There's people that are given to Faith Promise, our Faith Promise missions giving, and it has increased, and I'm so happy about you being faithful to what you've committed to doing and how God has provided those needs. I'm happy about that, and I know some of you just, you feel like, man, I just don't have to give, but God seems to keep supplying my need, and that's what I found. As we've given our Faith Promise, there's times I'm thinking, we really don't have this to give. But it seems like I've not missed a meal. No comments. We make our payments somehow. God just has His way. I can tell you stories. We needed new tires. And somebody bought us new tires. We needed brakes, and somebody provided new brakes, labor and all. You can't outgive God. And sometimes I worry, and as a matter of fact, I very seldom look at the books. I very seldom look at the receipt when my wife comes back from the bank, because I really just don't want to know. I'm just going to trust God to provide, and we'll continue to give. There's never been a special offering that's been taken up that we've not been a part of it. God just takes care of us. I don't expect somebody that only has $100 to give $1,000. But I do expect all of us just to obey the Lord and honor Him and watch how He takes care of us. Enough about that. We've seen this, that we need to make the most of every day of our growing, of our going, of our giving. But I want you to realize, as we make the most of every day, there will be a gathering. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 6, verse 7, 8, and 9, very familiar passage of Scripture. There's a reaping, there's a sowing, and a reaping. And the Bible teaches us all about this. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's a law of sowing and reaping all throughout the Bible. We reap what we sow. And here's what I'm saying tonight. Here's what I'm preaching about tonight. Reap to the Spirit, and or sow to the Spirit, and you'll reap spiritual blessings. Obey God with your life. God doesn't say that as we obey Him that there'll never be a problem. He does not say that we'll never be sick. He does not say that as we do His will with our life that everything will be roses. But He does say this, that He'll be with us everywhere we go. That He'll provide our need, He'll take care of us, and He'll give us the strength. And as we're faithful to the Lord, and sometimes it may seem like, boy, I'm doing everything that I really believe God wants me to do. And sometimes you just begin to think, but, you know, what is it that's happening? The Bible says if we'll continue to sow, that in due season we'll reap if we faint not. In other words, don't give up on doing what God has for you to do. The reaping will come in His time. He's promised that. Those things that we've prayed about, I prayed for 4 years, and just now starting to see certain results. 4 years since I've been here. 4.5 years. And we're starting to see some of the results of the things that we prayed for. And by the way, I keep waiting on God to provide more. But I don't want to get antsy. I just want to trust Him. He knows what we need. He knows when we need it. And just at the right time, He'll provide it for us. Now, I'm not talking about just money issues. I'm talking about everything we need. As we sow to the Spirit, we reap life everlasting. As we sow spiritual things, in due season we'll reap if we faint not. So make the most of every day. Most in growing, the most of it in giving, the most of it in going. And as we live our days, if we'll make the most of every day, we'll make a difference. And that's what we want to do, isn't it? Make a difference. There's a lot of things to be accomplished. But I'll tell you, friends, it's a whole lot better to accomplish things in the spirit than in the energy of the flesh. You can wear yourself out trying to do in the energy of the flesh, when if you'll just be obedient to the working of the Spirit of God in your life, you'll be able to have rest in the midst of the work. God does that. He's an amazing God. Amen. What is your life? What is it? It's a vapor. How many, if I were to ask you tonight, would say something like this? I can't believe I am the age I am. I can't believe I'm 41. I can't believe it. Faith, can you believe that you're going to be 16 years old? It's hard to believe, isn't it? That's my baby, you know? It's my little baby girl. Grandma, can you believe you're 40? It's hard to believe, isn't it? It seemed like just yesterday. It's hard to believe because it seems like just yesterday you were at a wedding of your baby girl. And we were getting married, and your mom was sitting there saying, "Nobody can cry, nobody can cry." And the first one that cried was her mom. And it wasn't just some, it was, whoa! It was a cry. And now here we are, 18 years later, a 16-year-old daughter and an almost 14-year-old son. It don't seem like it could be. Brother Bob, can you believe? How many years are you away from retirement? From when you can retire truthfully? never. It's hard to believe, isn't it, that you put all these years of work in and you look back and you begin to think, what happened to my life? You have grandchildren now, all kinds of them too. Especially at one house. Bunches and bunches. Chris, can you believe? You're over 30? Jody? You still look as young as you ever have. I look and I see and I begin to realize life truly is a vapor. I only have so many days left in this world. God says 70, and by reason of strength, 80 years, 80. In other words, my life is half over at best. What happened? I was just born. And now I'm old. And I begin to look back and I think how I've wasted so many of the precious days that God has given me. And how I've lived for myself. And I began to have this conviction that I've got to live the rest of my days making up for lost time because I've wasted my time. How many days do we have left? Let's make the most of every day. God wants us to enjoy ourselves. Look, anybody that knows me knows I'm going to have fun. I'm going to have a good time. Lord willing, everywhere I go. But I think the Lord expects us to enjoy life. I laugh, cut up, carry on, but that doesn't mean that I can't do it and still serve the Lord. I have right now, and if the Lord allows me tomorrow, I have tomorrow. What am I going to do with it? Make the most of every day. You'll be like my grandmother. She's in a nursing home, and she says, I can't believe it. In 2 years, she'll be 100. And she'll say, seems like yesterday. And that's exactly what so many of us are saying. I remember my first week of school. I've got to stop. I'm just reminiscing now. There was a girl there. Her name was Jennifer. And she liked me. And she planted a big wet one right here. I'll never forget that day, my first kiss. And I hated every second of it. She was the prettiest girl in the class, just kindergarten. And I went, yuck! It seems like yesterday. It just seems like I just blinked my eyes. I can remember that. I can remember my first paddling in school, and only paddling, by the way. I can remember so many things, and it seems like I closed my eyes, and it was just yesterday. What are we going to do with our days? We think we have all this in front of us, and it's not to put pressure on people, pressure on kids to grow up quicker. I'm just saying, live your life for the Lord now. Joe, live your life for the Lord now. Don't wait till you're 18, 19. Live your life for the Lord now. Faith now. IRL now. Now's the time to live for the Lord. It's not tomorrow. It's not to let somebody else. Christina, it's now. And Natalie and Matt, it's now. Even Gracie, she's trusted the Lord as her Savior, and she's going to be getting baptized. Now's the time. She's going to grow, and her mommy and daddy's going to teach her how to live for the Lord now. We have this responsibility. I don't want to waste the days. Father, please help us. I pray that you'll help us to be faithful. Help us to make the most of every day. Lord Jesus, may we grow. May we go. Lord, as you put in our hearts and lives to do, may we give. Then, Lord, help us to realize the promise that we will gather as we faithfully obey you. We're going to thank you now for what lies ahead of us. And we're going to trust you with our days. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's quietly stand to our feet tonight. Brother Chris is going to sing.